morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Zotec Answers. I'm Ed Gaines, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Industry Liaison with Zotec Partners, and I'm joined by my colleague, Mark Eisenberg, Executive Vice President of Healthcare Advocacy for Zotec Partners.
Great to be here, Ed.
Thanks. Today's topic is particularly important and timely as we answer the question: how does the budget reconciliation process work, and why is it critical to patient access to care? First, Mark, I know the budget reconciliation is often misunderstood, but can you give us a quick breakdown on how it works and why it's so important for listeners, and why it's so important at this time?
Sure. I think it's because the process largely happens behind closed doors. Many folks aren't sure how it works, but in a nutshell, budget reconciliation is a special process Congress can use to speed up passing certain types of legislation, usually related to taxes, spending, the debt limit, and here's how that typically plays out. First, it all starts with a game plan. Congress passes something called a budget resolution. Think of it like a blueprint. It includes certain instructions or reconciliation directives that tell certain committees to come up with legislation on specific issues, like adjusting tax rates or changing federal programs. Second, the committees get to work. The committees named in the blueprint write their own parts of the bill. Then the budget committee in each chamber, both House and Senate, take those pieces and bundle them together into one big bill. The third part of it is the full House and Senate take a vote. The Senate, instead of needing 60 votes to avoid a filibuster, only needs a simple majority, so just 51 votes to pass. At that point in time, the House and Senate compare notes. If the two chambers pass slightly different versions of the bill, they work out the differences either through a conference committee or by trading amendments back and forth. And then finally, the final step is the president's desk. The agreed upon version of the bill goes to the president to be signed into law or vetoed. Ed, we're seeing how quickly this process is moving. So can you give kind of a breakdown of the timeline?
Sure. So as Mark indicated, reconciliation is unique in that it only requires simple majorities in the House and Senate. Remember, typically bills in the Senate require 60 votes to cut off debate. So in this case, with Republican majorities in both houses of Congress, then we're looking at simple majorities. So on February 25th, the House passed a budget resolution to start the reconciliation process. Now, the House Budget Committee identified $880 billion in potential savings for those programs that the Energy and Commerce Committee has jurisdiction. So immediately that made a lot of people question what was going to happen to Medicaid. We'll come back to that. The Senate, when they did their budget estimate, just put the number at $1 billion plus. I think the Senate was smarter in terms of identifying the potential risk there. On April 2nd, the Senate updated their budget resolution to provide a new guidance to the committee on tax and spending changes. Then on April 10th, the House adopted the Senate's amended version of the budget resolution. And now, this week, today is April 29th. Congress is back in session in DC, and the committee members are holding meetings behind closed doors to make final changes to that budget resolution process. Now, we've heard various estimates on the timing that it gets to the president's desk. We've heard the speaker back in February estimate that it would be done by Memorial Day, which is probably not likely at this point. We also heard this morning the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith from Missouri, say that he is planning to have what they're going to do, and the Ways and Means is the committee of jurisdiction for this bill, for in terms of taxes and related provisions, by July 4th. So I think maybe July 4th is a more realistic time frame. So if that happens, then the president would be in a position to sign the bill into law, and we would know exactly what was in the package. Mark?
So that means that we have a very short window in which to let our voices be heard. If there is a chance to move anything forward this year, this package is the vehicle. I know that we've had a lot of conversations about promises that have been made and promises not kept in terms of the Medicare physician fee schedule. And we're hopeful that this includes some type of fix and a longer term fix for the healthcare community as well. But first, let's talk about the impact of this budget reconciliation package on access to healthcare, specifically Medicare and Medicaid. Ed, what are your thoughts on, there's been wide speculation. I know you and I have had one-off conversations on the Medicaid cuts, but what do you think the prospects are for an MEI adjustment? What does that mean, and what do you think the opportunity is for that?
Well, I think on the Medicaid side, I think they're going to look at certainly reducing waste, fraud, and abuse. I think they'll do that with Medicare and other aspects of the government. The president and members, leaders in Congress have said that repeatedly. On the Medicare side, I think it has to do more with looking at the longer term inflationary adjustment on the physician fee schedule, because as we've talked about in the past, there is no even close to an adjustment on the Medicare physician fee schedule like there is for hospitals, for skilled nursing, for other participants in the Medicare program. MEI is the Medicare Economic Index, and that is how CMS defines inflation and physician costs. And the MEI is right now, let's say it's 3-ish percent, maybe a little bit above 3%. That could be a guide for the reconciliation process. And this is really, I think, the greatest opportunity we've had in a long, long time to really obtain some type of inflationary adjustment on the physician fee schedule.
And you mentioned the MEI, yeah, at 3%. I've also heard, and I know we've also talked about the fact that we likely won't see that entire amount. It may be capped at some point.
Now that we have the setup, let's talk about what it means for physician and patient access to care. So really, the first issue is to stop the cut that's currently in place at negative 2.83%. We are in the fifth year of 5 years of cuts on the Medicare physician fee schedule. We know it's threatening the safety net. We know it's threatening hospital-based physicians who are mandated to care for the patients, and it's threatening access, certainly in rural and underserved areas. So if you look at the Medicare fee schedule going back to 1992, it's actually down over 60% on an inflation adjustment basis. So this simply cannot continue with access to care being what it is and has been and what we expect as Americans. So we have also the problems of the baby boomer doctors who are in their late 50s and 60s, 11,000 of us baby boomers retiring every day. We have the problems of burnout, suicide, mental health crises within the clinician community. And we have the situation of many primary care doctors' offices refusing or stopping to see Medicare or Medicaid patients or capping the Medicare/Medicaid patients that they're seeing. So all of those things are adding up to a critical point. And the timing right now, as we've just identified, is critical over the next, let's call it, 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, so since this process is happening right now, you know, it's more important than ever to reach out to your representatives, even if the representatives aren't on one of the two committees working behind the scenes on the reconciliation process. Your voice still matters, and it can really make an impact. We've got a call to action aimed at House members involved in the budget reconciliation process, especially those on Ways and Means and the ENC committee. But here's one thing, even if your representative isn't on these committees, you can and should still take action because they'll put pressure on their colleagues that they're hearing from their constituents that this is important. Our call to action platform makes it easy to send them a message. Simply just text ZPFIX to 50457. You can also find the link on our X and LinkedIn profiles. And don't forget to check out the episode notes. We've included a direct link to the call to action and a helpful graphic that breaks down the budget reconciliation process.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate your insights and your call to action and for joining me today. And just to stress the importance, folks, we've got a phenomenal opportunity this year to really make a huge change in the way physicians are paid under the Medicare program. Thanks for listening to Zotech Answers. Thank you for being a ZPAC advocate and stepping up to take actions. If you have questions for our team or topics for future episodes, email us at zotechanswers@zotechpartners.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode, and we will see you next time. Thank you very much, everybody. Take care.
Take care.